it's Paige. Just a little pre-message here to say that my dog decided to pay a little visit to the podcast in about the first 10 minutes. So she barks a bit and then it fades out. But once you get past that, please enjoy this conversation with Nate Howe of Nathaniel Howe Studios and their rebrand, their work with rebranding PBS. Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I am so happy to have with me Nathaniel Howe, who I'm going to call Nate, founder and creative director of Nathaniel Howe Studios in Los Angeles. Hello, Nate. How are you?
Hey, Paige. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. So we're going to talk specifically about how Nathaniel Howe Studios worked on PBS's massive rebrand. They just did it ahead of its 50th anniversary. We did some coverage of this on Daily Brief, and I will also link back to it on the post that goes with this podcast. So just to kick us off and to frame the conversation, can you tell us about what Nathaniel Howe Studios is and sort of what your studio's main point of focus is?
Absolutely. So Nathaniel Howe Studios is a creative agency. You know, we're really focused on design. That's our specialty. You know, a lot of our work happens to be on air, but we're pretty platform agnostic in the sense that we're design driven. We're all about finding the heart, the feeling, the why, and the look. That's what we specialize in, is really kind of where design and strategy intersect.
In what I'd read about Nathaniel Howe Studios, that you guys had already had a relationship with PBS prior to starting this project. Is that correct? You've done a lot of work for them.
Absolutely. You know, we've had I've had a longstanding friendship with a lot of the guys in the creative department for, over 10 years, I'd say. I've worked with them even before I had started my own studio. I worked with them, helping to brand Ken Burns films, a lot of their PBS originals. At our studio, we help them with event branding for their annual meetings, which are, the equivalent of their upfront, as well as brand refreshes for great performances. So we had this long, kind of real organic relationship that helped really build up this shorthand and trust. And I think that is a big factor in us becoming a partner in this rebrand with them.
When they came to you, what was the initial brief? And also, I'm going to ask this question sort of all at once, but I know that branding agency Lippincott was also a big part of this. At what point did Lippincott come in, and what point did you guys come in?
The original creative brief that we received for it, the question was really, how do we refresh a 50-year-old brand for the digital age? As a kind of secondary point to that, how do we establish PBS as the beacon of thoughtful and thought-provoking media? So Lippincott was involved before we were called on. They were really working on kind of core strategy. They were changing the logo, looking at color palettes, fine-tuning the fonts. And a lot of the work was really being done with this kind of digital-first mindset that was, so much a part of the focus of what does this mean? And there was so much beautiful work from Lippincott capturing the essence of the brand and where it should go in that digital-facing mentality. But then it really started to kind of become clear, like, okay, what does this mean for broadcast? What does this mean, on air? How do we put the high-level thinking into something that's functional, and what does that actually look like? And that's really takes us back to design, our specialty, and then rippling that design into real-world application. So that's when we got involved.
This is a visual question that I'm going to ask you to answer verbally. That makes it hard. But so when they brought you the initial, they're saying, hi, we would like to do a brand refresh. And you started at one spot, which I feel like it's the black PBS head. And it was across the circle, and it changed to blue. There's some things to change, but can you just explain where it started and where it ended? Because ultimately, I think to the layman's eye, the changes don't seem very dramatic. So can you just talk about why you decided to make the changes you did and why you decided to take the subtle path that you did?
Yes. And just as a kind of stepping back point here on this, we didn't really do that part with the logo. So I think maybe if we could reframe that question into kind of we started to really take the first thing that we got from Lippincott was really a lot of writing, and it showed what they were doing to their logo. But the real thing for us is, what does this mean, and what does this actually look like in real world deliverables? There's a lot of high level thinking. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of respect for what the brand is and where it's been, and the desire to not blow that up, but just to continue to evolve it. And a lot of that was driven with this digital first mindset. When we were called, it was really, what does this actually look like now? You know, we have pages and pages deep of writing and strategy and looks at logo options, but what does it mean when we have to put it on air? That part of the design process, nothing was started at that point.
Then can you tell me specifically from a design point of view what Nathaniel Howe Studios' role was?
Well, we got this book of strategy, and we saw these kind of hints at where they're going, and we saw the development Lippincott was doing and the unification of this strategy. We started to really figure out, okay, what does this actually look like? How does it move? How does it function? And what does digital first mean on linear television? We took that initial brief and we basically started by expanding our curiosity and just listening more. You know, that's something that we always do as designers, but this one was a bigger project. So, you know, I actually spent a lot of time at the PBS headquarters on the East Coast, and then I traveled, you know, to member stations across the country. I spent a lot of time with our senior designers asking ourselves, like, how can we really serve PBS and take this beautiful strategy from Lippincott and you know, figure out what that means on air. We had a lot of conversations with people. It really was a human effort. I mean, we met a lot of the folks around the country from the 350-plus member stations. And we took those, like, sparks from the conversation and the little impressions that we got. We just kept making notes of the things that were kind of speaking to us. And that was really the fodder that led to an extensive creative exploration. So we answered their initial brief with a 300-page deep dive into design. We had some of the upper creative executives fly out to our office in Beverly Hills. We locked ourselves in a room, and we went through 300 pages of lucid, free-flowing design inspired and grounded by strategy. That session, I mean, that's what I geek out over. I love trying to find the heart of something through design and falling in love with that process of looking at the design from a big picture perspective and then down to the detail. I mean, we locked ourselves in that room and we spent a long time going through this document. There's, you know, breaks and just times where we had to just kind of step back and look back at the design. And that initial meeting and that 300-page deep dive that we did, what it did is it really empowered us to then have a conversation where it was no longer just written strategy, conversational strategy, but we locked some things down in pixels. So now all of a sudden we're looking at tremendous range from complex 3D and light and shadow to completely flat and very modern. And it gave us a tool and a foundation to continue to build on. And I think that that is a big part of the way we serve them very early on. We are not the type of studio that really holds the work precious. We wanted to try things and break it and evolve it and simplify it and strip it down or build it up. We wanted that process because we wanted PBS to truly feel like they saw every potential thought-starting path that we could go down. And that way, when they go to make their decision, when they start to apply an actual look to written strategy, they can do it with confidence knowing that they've seen different ways that it could go. So that was really how we answered that creative brief, was through design.
Just so that I understand, but the part that you guys were in charge of, the logo was sort of Lippincott, and then you guys were in charge of the motion graphics and the on-air look incorporating the logo.
That's correct.
As you guys were locking yourselves in rooms and discussing the strategy, what were some of the things you came up with in terms of how all that needed to play out on air, and also how it would work online, you know, mobile, digital, social, et cetera?
In the beginning of the design process, I think a big part of it was we were looking about how to frame content and how to position PBS as this great curator of content. And, you know, the way to put it in Lippincott terms, this beacon of thought-provoking media. We were looking at ways to let the graphics become secondary and let the content shine through. The content at PBS is so diverse. There's so much range to it. But it's all through this kind of curated lens. You know what you're going to get with it. And we wanted to kind of really create a system that felt digital first. But what does digital first mean on linear television? You know, that was a big question that we started to ask ourselves. So a real wow factor moment for our team here and for PBS is we started playing with this menu system. And it started with, you know, big typography, creating kind of composition and attitude through typography over footage. We started doing motion tests of it. We were playing with this idea that when the show name is up, we're getting a little 4 or 5 second play of that world and just kind of a tease in that world. And then it swipes as if somebody kind of moved their hand across an iPad and we're in the next property and you get a little glimpse of that world playing out. So we're kind of mimicking what you see in, you know, streaming services when you highlight a show and it starts to play. But we did it in a really simple way, and then we really kind of spent some time to finesse and ease those keyframes. And I think that the net result of that is that we created this feeling that felt interactive and unique and felt like it was giving a lot of care and attention to the property. You know, we're teasing this world. We're showing where we're going to take you tonight, and then we're moving on to the next one in a really effortless way. And we're not doing it with all these extra design elements and bells and whistles. I mean, we're keeping it very pure, very simple, core brand color, content, typography. We wanted these graphics to serve the viewer and deliver them the information, hinting at these digital first themes, but really showing the beauty of the content that PBS creates. And I think that that's a big thing that we wanted. I mean, they actually have such beautiful footage and content, and it's so diverse. We didn't feel that it was appropriate to create a system that staged that in any way. So the complexity and the beauty of it really came down to getting it as simple as possible.
How challenging is it, as someone who loves design, how challenging is it to make the decision to keep it simple and stay simple?
Oh, it's very hard. It's a constant battle. I mean, the idea of going simple sounds great on paper, and then when you see it and when you start committing to it, it's very challenging. You have these instincts. Let's add a little light, yeah, a little vignetting, a little shadow. Let's make it do something more. You know, we had a 300-page design deck with everything from complex 3D to completely different wild styles and looks and unique approaches. But at the end, you know, returning back to strategy and letting that be an anchor and a guide and saying to ourselves, look, we have a very unique rebrand. This is not your everyday rebrand. This is going out to 350 stations. Each one of these stations has their own challenges and needs and lineup for the evening and their own kind of focus points and their own, you know, different sized teams that are working there. This is about kind of continuing to position the PBS brand in a new light that is still true to who it is going into the future, but also empowering so many people. I mean, we felt like we were basically delivering 350 rebrands, you know, because we couldn't just care about PBS HQ and headquarters. We wanted to care about, you know, the smallest and the largest member stations. So it was a very unique challenge.
A, how long did it take you? And B, well, what I really want to ask you is how frustrating is it to design by committee like that? But I, like, 100% sure you can't answer that question. So I will ask how challenging, I mean, it has to be incredibly challenging to try to do a design that works for, you know, PBS National Network, for 350 member stations, for, you know, I mean, you're serving, yeah, a lot of masters there. That seems very challenging.
Absolutely. And you know, I think we can speak to some of that. I mean, it is very challenging when you have something as big as a rebrand. Any rebrand is a unique job, any network rebrand. And this is a very unique one. Not only do we have Lippincott as an ad agency partner that's coming in, changing the logo, setting this great strategy. We have PBS HQ. We have the member stations out there with their needs and opinions and desires. And there is no shortcut to pleasing everyone, and there's no way to do it. I mean, what we had to really do, the only real path, is to truly listen and to care and to just continue to step up every chance we could. And that is part of why simplicity really helped in this case. I mean, yeah, simplicity, we liked it anyway because it allows the content to speak, it allows it to shine and to sing, and it feels more digital, more modern. It feels different than where PBS has been. You know, we're going from a very complex look with a lot of particles and you know, light and shadow and all this, we're going to a very bold, simple statement. But a big part of that, too, is, you know, we really want this to empower people. You know, we want these stations across the country to be able to make their air look consistent, connect to the national brand of where that's going, but still give them room to operate. And, you know, each station, the tapestry of PBS stations across this country, they all have their own little unique quirks and charm to them. And that's part of what makes it special. And what people don't see is underneath the hood of all this, how much work and complexity went into making an After Effects toolkit that empowers that many people. You know, the co-branding situations were almost endless. Some people multi-line, co-brand left, co-brand right, co-brand above, below, some with a logo, some with unified typefaces. And that group effort of Lippincott, PBS, and our team here to figure out how to unify that, how to still let people express themselves, and then how to deliver a flexible After Effects toolkit that does all that simply, that was a lot of the work. And this was a labor of love for me. I not only did my team obviously work on it for a very long time, but I would say for, you know, over a year, 7 days a week during this project, I was thinking about this job all the time because it was a very unique creative challenge. One thing that really helped position us and make us ready to do this job, I mean, we've done other network rebrands, but it was actually a lot of our work for NBA and MLB, you know, with the regional sports networks and Fox Sports. I mean, we've been doing those jobs with Fox Sports for, you know, 5 or 6 years in the past now. And those jobs, we would have to send out an After Effects toolkit and brand guidelines all across the country, but still let each local, you know, network kind of shine as their own while kind of connecting to a bigger look and feeling and unification of design. And those jobs, doing those for, you know, so many years in a row, they really helped our team think through and problem solve some things and forecast some things that would be challenging with the After Effects project that, you know, it gave us a big advantage.
Kind of along those lines, can you explain to our audience why the PBS, what the PBS structure is? They have 350 member stations, but they don't really operate like ABC and their affiliate stations, because the member stations have a lot more leeway to program the way they want, don't they?
They do, yes. There is a lot of complexity and unique qualities the way that it works. You know, our real goal here was to create something that people want to use, create something that makes their lives easier, that connects it to the way that the national brand is moving, but still giving them enough room to express themselves on a local level. And it is a very unique thing.
When you put together both the on-air packages, the motion graphics packages, and the After Effects toolkits, are you doing a lot of actually compiling the entire graphic? Are you more giving the components to the stations so that they can compile them themselves? Or are you having to work sort of with each member station to figure out the look they want? I mean, you weren't having to do 350 different takes on this, were you?
No. Yeah, we really tried to find that balancing act of standardizing but still leaving flexibility. So what we really wanted to do with this toolkit is empower people and give them the ability where, hey, if you have a small team and you need to just get in and crank out your work for the week, then open it up and follow the tutorials and the videos that we made. You know, we had several different training seminars across the country. We had live web streams of how to use this After Effects project that we led. We had video tutorials out for people. But people use their After Effects toolkits in different ways, and there's different levels of savviness with it.
Yeah.
So we really created a toolkit that if you just are maybe a smaller station and need to get something out, you can open it up, follow the style guide, follow the videos to the T, and it's going to work for you, and it's going to render quick, and it's going to make sense. Now, if you're more advanced and you need to do something, or you run into some very unique kind of local level challenge, then you can dig deeper into this toolkit. Really, what we gave people is a kit of parts, and we pre-assembled certain things. But the idea really is people empowerment through strong typography, strong type toolkits, ways to own typography over footage without having to resort to drop shadows or strokes, ways to kind of unify that so you can read typography over any case, and then ways to kind of pull in and out of footage. And to, you know, we like to think of this kind of PBS rebrand as almost an operating system running in the TV. You know, we're on linear TV, but it's digital first. So what does that mean? It means that all of a sudden now our focal point went from the content to the typography, and now let's effortlessly get the viewer back to that content. And that was our thinking. How do we build this like a very human, slick, beautiful operating system? And how do we kind of toggle between what we want people to pay attention to? So we gave people a lot of parts and preset animations and ways to deal with typography, still images, footage. You know, some footage on PBS is very beautiful. There's also some older footage that still is an amazing piece of content, but maybe, you know, a different file size, a different resolution, or you know, not as high quality. So we had to really kind of think of a lot of different scenarios because the content and the use is so diverse.
Also, I had a question about this. You've mentioned it a few times about it being a digital first brand architecture, but it's certainly an architecture that has to live on air too. So can you talk about how do you structure that so that you're digital first, but yet it seamlessly applies to on air needs?
When we were in a design process, figuring out and refining some of our designs, and there was all this talk about digital first and what does that mean, and a lot of focus in that. And our senior designer, Kyle Smith, he set this look of a menu that we talked about a little bit earlier, this look of a menu that frames content and delivers it to you. And we sent it to PBS. They loved it. And then their digital team started to take our on-air designs and started to be inspired by that and continue to evolve and grow from that starting point for the OTT app and for Instagram and for digital. So that is when I really felt like we were onto something hot, because our team here figured out an on-air linear TV style frame that then influenced the look of a lot of the digital things and a lot of the OTT things. So that, to me, made me just extraordinarily proud, because I felt like, hey, this is a digital-first mindset. Everybody's focused on that. But, you know, we're still a TV station. You know, we still have on-air linear TV. And we captured that feeling of digital first. We captured it in a way that was human and let the content speak. And it actually informed a lot of the digital designs. So I think that was a big home run for our design team there.
Do you feel like your design team has had to, and maybe even for you yourself and the people at PBS, have had to sort of make a mental shift to, let's look at this from what are all the needs across digital, mobile, social, versus sort of starting with the on-air look and then being like, okay, now let's apply it to digital, but not really thinking about what does that look like authentically, or what's sort of the organic way that would live on those platforms?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And it's funny, that comes up in a lot of our work these days as you know, campaigns start to connect and flow across different platforms. There's this popular term that people say, and it's kind of trendy to say you're platform agnostic. And there's truth to that, but there's something more that our team does that really speaks to me. We specialize in capturing the feeling. How do we make people feel the right emotion and think the right thoughts through imagery? That's really what we care about. That's what we love. That's what we're passionate about. I don't care if that's on your phone or on television or on Instagram, or if you can control it and interact with it in virtual reality, or if you just have to sit back on the couch and watch it. I don't care about that. I care about capturing that mood and getting that right. And so a lot of people kind of end that sentence there. I'm platform agnostic. I don't care if it's VR or TV or whatever. But I think beyond that, it's kind of like, okay, there's truth to let's capture the heart of the idea. But then beyond that, what does each one of these platforms offer that's unique in its own right? So now how can we find the heart, start there, really solve the creative problem in a striking and beautiful way, but then take what's magical or special about any particular platform or opportunity for viewing and consumption, and then blend that back in? And I think that's what our team is good at. You know, we are a small but powerful team. And I think that is a beautiful thing that we brought to to this job. And one of the things I'm so grateful about for this opportunity, we were so focused. We had such a small focus team on this for a year, and we served so many people. And we did it through hard work and through showing up and listening to people. You know, there wasn't a secret to it. It was, we showed up to across the country. We spoke with people. We found out what mattered to them, and we spent a lot of time working on it.
Do you feel like your team was as digital first or thought about this kind of brand architecture this fluidly prior to this project?
This project really opened our eyes to a lot of things. And Lippincott brought a lot of tremendous experience to taking a very complex brand and navigating the waters of simplifying that. They had teams really committed to just figuring out how to simplify co-branding situations. And that was tremendously helpful. I'm extraordinarily grateful that we got to work with Lippincott on this because, they're a very large firm. They have a lot of people there, a lot of muscle, and they're figuring a lot of things out. When it came time to take strategy and take their thinking and make it apply to the real world, I'm grateful that we had this beautiful 1-2 punch for PBS. We had this big muscle agency, Lippincott, thousands of people, and we had a small, very dedicated, very focused team that was really listening and paying attention every day. And that was a beautiful, unique situation to be able to serve a client in a rebrand with the power of big muscle and the focus and attention to detail of a small team.
I apologize for asking this question again, but I'm still not clear on it. So Lippincott, did they bring to, the palette? Did Lippincott determine, okay, PBS Blue is where we're going, the actual logo? Like, they brought those things to you, and then you took that and packaged it up into the brand architecture.
That's correct. So when we first got involved, Lippincott had changed the logo. They had softened the nose and gave it slightly different profile and shape and upward gaze. They had started some initial thinking of strategy. They had determined the PBS blue color. Mm-hmm. They had started to look at a typeface that would serve the PBS wordmark better and rules of keeping that locked up instead of separating it like in the past. And Lippincott handled that. We were then called to figure out what does that strategy and what does this new logo with all this digital first thinking, what does that mean for on air? What does that mean for linear television? What does it look like and feel like, move like? How does it actually function beyond strategy and words?
Okay, now I'm going to ask you something that I feel is totally offensive, but I'm going to ask you anyway, which is, so when you look at this brand refresh and what it looks like on motion graphics, the simplicity is clear. So to me, I'm like, it's incredible the amount of time and thought and travel and conversation you had around creating this. Do you feel like, I'm sure you feel like it's great that viewers don't see all the work we put into that, but do you also sometimes feel like, I wish they knew all the work we put into that?
Yeah. I mean, this is a really unique beast. And serving a large company like this is mm-hmm. There's a lot of challenges to it, and a lot of people have to get on board. There's a lot of shared brand belief building that goes on, and then there's a lot of effort that goes out to rolling it out to so many people. The idea that I would wish a viewer would see how much work went in, or that it was more flashy, or this or that, I don't really feel that way because every creative project is so unique, mm-hmm. and I think that the way to serve the diverse and wide breadth of content that PBS has, and the way to serve so many stations, and the way to align to this digital first kind of state of simplicity and mm-hmm. just a powerful statement of their brand, I think that it really works well. And I think that the Lippincott strategy is great. I think that it's beautiful, this idea of we're going to see this blue, we're going to feel it, you may not notice it, but it's going to play for a while, and it's going to start to build, and it's going to start to kind of get embedded. And I think that's a very important step for PBS. I think that's a really important step in this era we're in, to really stamp and own their content and be claiming their content in a bold, striking way.
Do you feel like part of Nathaniel House Studios' job on this was maybe not not what you were initially hired to do, but you sort of ended up being like brand ambassador, maybe therapist a little bit. You know, I mean, your job was kind of to create this brand architecture, but also sell it, make everybody feel comfortable, make everybody feel invested.
I do think that that was a big part of it. And it's also something that I really enjoy. You know, I do really enjoy hearing people's concerns and loves and ideas for what it should be. And at the beginning of any rebrand, you can imagine there's a lot of, you know, polarized opinions and passionate opinions. Mm-hmm. And I like treading those waters. I like kind of figuring out that range. And I like using design to empower teams and to help people make decisions. And I think that actually is a huge part of what we did. I mean, every week, I mean, I don't know how many hours a day we would spend on the phone together just kind of talking through things and really thinking what would serve people well. And then, you know, finding potential problems and pitfalls and catching them before they went out. There is a lot of under the hood work that went into it.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a very simple look and it's a very clean look. But every creative challenge is different. This isn't necessarily a project that it's like, hey, the complexity of our particle simulation or dynamic lighting is what, you know, gets us so fired up. I mean, we have those projects as well, but this is a really interesting kind of human level engagement with a very beautiful brand. So it was a great project. I was just so proud to have been a part of it.
Do you feel like those skills, you know, those ambassadorial skills, if you will, are called on all your projects? Is that sort of a secret superpower that you have?
I think that, you know, it does give me a bit of a competitive advantage. It's what I love to do. And I think that the reason why it works and why it is part of everything we do is I actually care. You know, it's not about just getting a paycheck. It's not about just kind of showing up in any project that comes across our desk we want to take. It's about, you know, I love motion graphics. I love design. And I'm the type of guy that believes that design should empower people and bring people together. Not that design has to be kind of highbrow and elitist, you know. So I want people to be touched by design. I want people to see our promos and our work and be like, yo, that was sick. That was, oh, my God, that got me so fired up. So I think that a big part of it is I really do care and I really do geek out on this stuff. And so when we get opportunities, I make the most of them. You know, I'm just grateful to be in this game and to do what we do.
So when you look out, you know, now you're wrapping up this PBS project and you're looking out in the future. And something we've been talking a lot about within Promax is how can agencies work with the new players in the game, the new streamers, et cetera. How do you see these skills that you have, these superpowers that we just discussed, how do you see that applying in sort of this evolving new world of television?
Yeah, that's a great question. We still have to see where the landscape kind of shifts and nets out to. But here's the thing. I think that, you know, making people feel emotion through imagery and capturing mm-hmm. the essence of a brief and helping people navigate complex creative decisions and giving creative guidance in a way that's empowering to people, I think that those skills are always valuable. And those things, that's what I love. You know, I think that the other thing is convincing people about design. I like trying to sell design. I mean, I love walking into a pitch-based scenario and trying to get somebody fired up, not in a way that's trying to force it. I want to find something that really does light a fire. And when you have kind of a cold room that's not there yet, and then when you see that spark hit, that is literally one of the best things. I mean, a lot of people in our business complain about pitching. I kind of love pitching because to me it's kind of like, we get to go play our game. We get to go figure this problem out, and let's see what button gets fired up. And if we can do it, then we deserve to get it. And if not, then give it to the next guy. There's plenty of work. So I kind of cherish and relish the art of the pitch in those moments because I want to solve people's problems in a beautiful, creative way.
Well, it's interesting, a couple of things you said there. One is there's plenty of work. So I hear both sides of that. I hear it's all going a different direction. I don't know exactly know how to pursue it. And then I also hear what you just said, there's plenty of work, which is sort of my take on it. And then the other point that I think is interesting is you've got all these different players. So you've certainly got a lot of opportunities for branding. So it seems like for a company like Nathaniel House Studios, that's a huge opportunity, because even, you know, even if you're a sub brand, you're Disney Plus, you're FX on Hulu, you still need some branding, because otherwise it's a pretty confusing landscape for consumers. So at the very least, these consumers need clarity. And I think branding is a good way to bring it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing too is, like, we really love helping to promote entertainment content, because it's like, how do we get people fired up, and what is that promise, and how do graphics and design add to that edit, add to that promo, and what does it actually mean? Even if somebody couldn't consciously say, John Q Public, those graphics made me feel XYZ, we love trying to figure that out. We love trying to get people fired up or to feel the right kind of mood and emotion and thought through imagery. And I think that, you know, those loves that we have here, those loves inherently are not just connected to one deliverable type or a rebrand or a promo or a shoot or whatever. You know, those things are just timeless creative challenges and the things that make human beings tick. And those are the things that we love, the tools and the platform and where it goes. That'll all change. That'll continue to flow and ebb and flow, all this. But we just love the creative dance, the challenge of solving a problem through design.
All right, so tell me some upcoming problems that you are solving through design.
Yes. All right, so we are busy and we have a lot of diverse work going on here. So we have a project with a team that cannot be mentioned right now, but an NFL
team that shall not be named. Okay.
We have an NFL team that's about to release a new jersey, and they're going to change their uniform. And we're helping to make a really cool kind of effects-driven look at that uniform kind of coming together in a graphical way. So that we have for NFL team directly. We're helping Fox Sports with some new NASCAR campaigns. We do a lot of work with Fox Sports. I love those guys over there. Mm-hmm. We have a very exciting project right now for a Marvel-related video game. We're helping with some branding and look of the logo of that and starting to kind of give some more guidance on kind of potential key art and feeling for that. And then we have a lot of work with Golf Channel and Bravo going on right now. So, I mean, we have a diverse slate of work going on.
Different than PBS, too. I mean, Marvel video game, NFL team, NASCAR, Fox Sports, that all feels very action sports driven, and PBS is just has a different brand. So that's cool that you have that spectrum.
Yes. Yeah, we're actually working on some design right now for Amazon to help them with some branding. And that's actually kind of almost closer to PBS in some senses of what we're doing in that. But, you know, that was a big thing that attracted me to motion graphics. I mean, I started this stuff when I was like 9 or 10 years old playing with After Effects and Photoshop. And at first, the real dream and the real path as I was a teenager was, I want to make visual effects for movies like Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park. This stuff is so sick. Oh, my God. And I studied a little bit of that in school. But then what I really realized is that motion graphics and what we get to do, I love the diversity of it. I love the fact that, you know, 1 week we're working on some wild visual effects shot that's like, you know, stitching of jerseys flying together. And the next week we're doing some like really stylized out there motion graphics based spot. And then, you know, maybe a week later doing something very corporate and buttoned up in a different mood. That challenge of being able to kind of paint different brush strokes and make people feel different emotions and figuring out what's appropriate yet still exciting to each one of those diverse clients, that is the beauty of what we get to do, is we get to play in so many different sandboxes in a year. Whereas, you know, maybe if you're in hardcore film-based visual effects for a year straight, you're working on perfecting one shot.
Yeah.
So I do love that challenge and that dance that we have.
Well, also, don't you feel like even just, the different projects you just mentioned, but even if you think about, I don't know, like celebrity social media feeds, not that you guys work on that, but everybody essentially needs and uses motion graphics now. And I think it's a thing that people take for granted, but that because it's everywhere, but all of that requires the touch-ups of an expert like you. It's not like I go out and create motion graphics, but, you know, there's things that we do within Promax that need motion graphics.
Right,
so So I do feel like I just feel like there's a lot of work and there's a lot of things to do. If you're in the motion graphics field, it's a great time for it.
There's a lot. There's a lot of opportunity out there. And it's funny because, you know, as needs grow, then so do simple solutions that empower, you know, everyday people to continue to create in more sophisticated ways. Mm-hmm. And if all you sell is one look or one style, or if your design shop basically just is kind of a commodity and you're just kind of cranking out the end deliverable and that's it, it's hard to kind of keep your authority and to kind of keep your expertise and to offer that to clients. So I think one of the things that we really care about here is, you know, situational awareness when you're in the trenches of creative problems. Like, how do we make sure that we focus on what matters the most and keep that heart pure and true? And then how do we get the details right and make it better and faster and smarter than maybe the next one out there? So those are the things that I think are timeless. And those are the things that, you know, lead to really unique opportunities.
All right. Well, I will keep my eyes open for all of these projects coming down the line. And I would look forward to hearing from you and from the Nathaniel Howe Studios as to what's coming down the pike. Thank you so much for your time today, Nate. I appreciate it. And congratulations on your PBS brand refresh.
Thank you, Paige. I appreciate it.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, produced this podcast. Video Helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax has rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax _ Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.